I'm Carol Cohn, and welcome to Purpose 360, the podcast that unlocks the power of purpose to ignite business and social impact. I'm so excited about the conversation on Purpose 360 today because it's about a subject I love so much, and that's innovative products to solve social issues. So I want to ask you a question. Have any of you washed your clothes? Sure, yeah. You throw it in the washing machine, you press a few buttons, and you're done. Well, unfortunately, for over 60% of the world, that is not a reality. The simple act of washing clothes by hand, hunched over a bucket, scrubbing clothes, can take up to 20 hours a week. And this backbreaking task falls primarily on women and girls, robbing them of essential time that could be spent on their education, on income-generating activities, or just simply resting. Well, today we're going to talk about the global washing divide with the Washing Machine Project and the Whirlpool Foundation. Joining me is Deb O'Connor, Managing Director of the Whirlpool Foundation, and Nav, one of the co-founders of the Washing Machine Project. We're going to learn many things in this absolutely stimulating conversation. Besides, what is the global washing divide? We're going to learn about the passion of an engineer to solve a problem. We're going to learn about the heart of a company that's always focused on its mission to improve lives at home. We're going to learn about the synergistic alignment between the two companies to create and then distribute these amazing, flat, packable washing machines. So let's get started. Deb and Nav, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Carol. Really excited about the conversation.
Oh, it's going to be great. So I always like to start for our listeners, which is a brief introduction of yourselves. And why do you do the kind of work that you do?
I actually, my early career, I started in nonprofits. So I learned to do a lot of work with volunteers and that kind of thing. And then when it came to Whirlpool, one of the reasons I said yes to the role is because I would be able to participate in some nonprofit organization. I worked for the KitchenAid brand, and we had a program with the Komen Foundation. So that excited me. And as I moved through my career, I am now doing the social responsibility for the company and, of course, with the foundation role as well. That's the stuff that I'm attracted to. I like to see people, things get better for people. It seems crazy that in this world, there are people who don't have as much as many others. And how can we make that a little bit more equal? So just helping people, I guess, is my answer.
And you've been with Whirlpool how many years?
20 years.
20 years. And you've done some amazing work prior to this relationship, and we might get into that a bit later. Nav, how about your background, and why do you do what you do?
Yeah, it's a really good question, and I rarely get to sit down and reflect on the why element. I think it's, you know, we're just doing all the time, so thank you for the opportunity. You know, I'm from an Indian background, and I used to go to India every summer and I'd see poverty as a kid. And it didn't sit well with me that, you know, as an engineer, I could help or hinder the planet. And I'm so glad that it happened to me young because I now get to wake up every single day and work on something more purposeful in life. And I'm so privileged to do that.
That's a beautiful thing. And I also know that you were mostly during your upbringing, you were raised by your mom.
Yeah. I mean, my mom and my two older sisters single-handedly raised me. You know, these are really powerful, independent women that navigate society on their own, you know, in the UK. And I witnessed firsthand my mom working all hours of the day. Just to get by, and you know how difficult it was for women in particular to navigate society. And I think that really stuck with me throughout my whole life, you know, seeing that struggle and that stress and that strain and that passion to create products and solutions that affect women has kind of followed me throughout my life.
So let's bridge right to What is the washing machine project?
You could tell by the name, you know, we wanted to make it as obvious as possible. But in summary, it's a problem that probably will never affect you or me. And, you know, touch wood, that's something that I hope for everyone in the world. And the problem is that 60% of the world hand wash clothes. You know, they have to travel to lakes, rivers, and streams to do this backbreaking work of hand washing clothes. And unfortunately, the burden of hand washing clothes is disproportionately placed on women and girls who take up a lot of the unpaid labor in the household. You know, and at the washing machine project, we think that's so unfair. So we're doing something about that. We create these manual washing machines that save time, water, and effort compared to hand washing clothes.
And we'll get into more of the beautiful detail about that. But Deb, I know that Whirlpool has this incredible mission, and it's to be the best kitchen and laundry company and to constantly improve life at home. So I want to ask you, when you first learned about the washing machine project, what were you thinking?
Well, actually, it was, I would call it serendipitous. You know, turns out we also had a manual washing machine that we had been working on for 10 years, and the machine was working great. It's a manual. It looks very different than the one that Nab and team created, but we were trying to figure out how to get it distributed. We were working with Habitat for Humanity on a research project trying to help just map the market in southern Mexico. And as they were coming back with their results, we still had to look at each other and say, you know, gosh, we still can't distribute this. Like, I can't go to countries and distribute it. We just don't have, we don't work in that market. So we were kind of at a standpoint. Then suddenly, one of my colleagues got a phone call from Nav, and he called me and connected me and Nav. And then as we started talking, it was actually kind of funny because he presented this deck, you know, he was going to present to this company and see if we would help. And the pages in his deck are the same pages that we've been using for 10 years because, you know, talking right. about 60% of the globe still washes by hand, up to 20 hours a week. These women are doing hand washing. So we connected very quickly over those statistics. And as we talked more and more, he needed scale and we needed distribution. So when you talk about 1 + 1 = 3, I mean, that is the perfect definition of that.
That meeting was probably one of the best meetings I've ever had. And I've had thousands of meetings. I can't believe that we found each other, you know, and we were introduced to the Whirlpool Foundation. And the energy in the room was really, really, really beautiful. And I wish everyone was there.
I think we both figured out that we had solved our problem with each other. Was solving our problem. So it's great.
Yeah.
Can you both talk about the global washing divide? Because that's what you're trying to help solve.
The issues, the crux of it is that hand washing clothes is so time intensive. You know, as we said, the burden of hand washing clothes is placed on women and girls. And that's not fair. And it takes so much time. Our research has shown that it takes up to 20 hours a week in some instances. And it's not 20 hours passive time. This is 20 hours on your hands and knees, scrubbing each piece of cloth. That denies women and girls opportunities to work, to study, or rest. And that's where the divide is created. Bridging that divide would unlock and has unlocked opportunities to income generate, to realign their ambitions to something that they want to do, or, you know, spend time with family and rest. And I think it's, you know, just bridging that gap.
In fact, when we see our employees come in and they start, you know, to help build machines, and we say 60%, we hear that echoed throughout the day. Are you kidding me? 60% of people still are washing by hand? It's shocking.
You talk about being the world's first flat packable machine. Because these machines have to go to lots of places. So can you explain why it is important that it's flat and packable? And then because you want to get these to ultimately hundreds of thousands of families and communities and such around the globe.
When we started the design process, we needed something that was compact, that was robust, that would be able to, I think, you know, in our design discussions, we were saying could fit on the back of a motorcycle, you know, essentially, you know, because last mile distribution and getting it to the most remote places in the world, you're going to have to operate around the modes of transport that people do, you know, donkeys and little scooters and stuff. So with that in mind, you know, having something that was compact, but also had the capacity for the families that we were trying to serve. And we also knew that the machine had to have a reduced water consumption. So, you know, it needed to be beneficial for people that had limited or no access to water. And so the reduction of water is 50%. And then the time benefit is something that we really wanted to bridge, you know, that lost time on this relatively unproductive task that people have so much pride towards, actually. And I don't want to undermine that. So 75% reduction in time. It's gone through a lot of iteration, but over the last year, in collaboration with World Wolf Foundation and World Wolf Corporation employees, we really accelerated the design, but also the manufacture. So, you know, we're now able to manufacture one of these machines around 3.5 minutes, which is something that used to take us one day.
That's amazing. I also know that it is on a frame, so women do not have to bend over. And I know that originally when women's washing just, you know, in a tub, it is back breaking on the back, on the knees, on the hands. So why is it called the Divya?
The first ever inspiration of the machine was a lady called Divya, who was my next door neighbor in India at the time. I was frustrated with my career here in the UK as an engineer for an engineering company. And I wanted to help the planet, not hinder the planet. So I met Divya and I promised her a machine. And I also named the machine after her. And I made sure that everyone knows Divya's story. And actually, I was lucky enough to go back to Divya after that 6-7 year long promise. I took Deb, Rosa, and some of the other Whirlpool employees. And for me, that was a massive moment, personal journey. You know, a lot of people have put their careers on the line, you know, for this moment, you know, where, you know, people challenged whether this happened. And for me, that was just a wow.
So Deb, what was it like to take that trip? And I also know that your global head of sustainability, Pam Klein, went with you too.
I mean, I knew it was India. I knew it was, you know, going to be a remote village and, you know, difficult situation because these are people who are spending a lot of time washing by hand. But to go into that community and see the conditions that they live in, it's hard, but they're very proud. And the houses that we went into were extremely clean, and they all offered us something to drink and to, you know, something to eat. And it was like, I have so much, and I go in and see that they appreciate what they have. It was really touching. And then the moment that we delivered Divya her machine, I mean, I could see Nav, very, very proud. Divya, very happy. Divya's family was there, and they were happy. And Divya's daughter helped put the legs on the machine. So actually, I think Divya's daughter is soon going to be an engineer at Whirlpool in Pondicherry because she was amazing.
Really?
She knew how to
okay,
use,
great.
How to use the tools, etc. Then after Divya, though, like we distributed 10 machines on that trip. And we would walk through that village a couple times a day, or, you know, day after day. We were there for like 4 days, I think. And to see the women who just got done washing and the smiles on their faces. And another woman, when we distributed her, she put all her saris in there and put the water in and turned the dial a few times. And then she walked away, and we kind of looked at each other like, where'd she go? And somebody went over, and she was already doing other chores. Like, she figured out she was going to be able to save time just like that, you know? It was really, really amazing to watch, and they were so appreciative. And then to hear results 3 months later where they truly are still using it, they're appreciative. It's saving them time. All of the things that we had hoped and dreamed of for this trip really just came true. And to think that we're building more and more and more of them to have a lot more Divyas in the world is pretty amazing.
And I think, you know, that balance between sympathy and empathy is really important. You know, the people that we're just bringing these machines to, they're so proud, you know, that they don't want handout. They want opportunity. And I think that ability for Deb and the team to show the empathy rather than the sympathy is so important, and it's so beautiful to see, and they got it straight away. And I think, you know, that's so powerful. It's from a partnership perspective, where partners just get it. Very rare that happens. And the engagement of welcoming these people that are trying to help into their society, you know, with the culture and the food and the music and the dancing and the murals was just fantastic to see.
Yeah, I'd love you to talk a little bit about the murals, because those were, it's part of the culture, and they're called Kulums?
Correct, yeah.
And so can you explain a little bit about that? Because some of them were just amazing.
So basically, every single morning, these women go out on their front porch, and they use rice powder, and it looks like chalk. They draw a design out on their front porch, and it's in the dirt that's on the front porch. And as the day goes, it kind of gets messed up, but it's basically like an art with a lot of lines and dots, and sometimes they'll draw pictures. But the art just showed the intelligence of these women and the ability to do everything for their family and their desire to do everything for their family. I wish I could show you these images on the podcast, but I can't.
I love it. What are two or three other insights that were absolutely critical to make this relationship powerful and also built to last?
Different countries and different regions do different things. And understanding that's really, really challenging. And that's I think that's where the Washing Machine Project can add value to a partnership like World War, you know, where they are amazing. They are amazing at building products. Just in the last year alone, with having these dedicated skill-based volunteers who work around the clock, so passionate, so invested with this partnership, to do what they do above their day jobs with young families is something that I will never forget in my life. And they have really moved the needle in our product development and our manufacturing. And we wouldn't be able to distribute at the scale that we're doing now and in the future if it wasn't because of those people.
Deb, talk about what have you learned? Because, you know, you've had other partnerships in the past, which have been great, but this one seems to be so extra special. And I know your employees are really, really excited about it.
Yeah, our employees are really excited. And I just, when Nav talks about the engineers who helped, you know, just refine the machine a bit, you know, I didn't even know all of them were working on it. I recently added up the number of people who were involved, and it's 35 people have touched the refinement of the machine. And as Nav said, that's on their own time. And they also built an entire assembly line. It probably has maybe 12 stations at it. And the assembly of it goes from table to table. And they built it so that any employee could work on it. And the heart that it takes to do that, the values of, you know, respect and just thinking about other people, helping each other get through the job.
Deb, talk about your commitment, because a lot of foundations will only do a 1-year commitment, which is very difficult for their partner. So talk about your commitment, the numbers, but also the length of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think we saw that it was going to take more than 1 year to really truly make an impact. I mean, it took a year to build up to this and be able to, you know, have our assembly line and figure out how we're going to bring volunteers in and make it a good experience for them. And how are we going to get, once we built those machines here in Little Benton Harbor, Michigan, how are we going to get them out of here into the people who need them? So we went with a 3-year grant, although we have goals for 5 years. That's what we decided to do. But I think even more importantly are the employees that have jumped in. I mentioned the core team, but also, we've had over 200 employees volunteer to build machines, and they have to take an entire day off of their work in order to do it. So it's pretty impactful to see how people have jumped in and we survey everybody when it's done and they love it. They love it. We have return volunteers. Sometimes we have to ask the return volunteers to back off a little just so that we can get the new people in because everybody wants to build.
I also want to just mention briefly about how you introduce this to employees, because there's an experiential part of this, and Nav talked about it. Like when we started doing brainstorming, you and Rosa took us down to a pond at your headquarters, and we toted the water, the basin, the clothes, the detergent. That's very telling. So how was your introduction received, and why did you do it the way you did it?
Yeah, we went to 4 of our buildings, I believe. And, we catch people, when you're in a company and people are moving around all the time, it's hard to book time with people. So we went right outside the cafeteria during lunchtime, and Nav came in and we sat them down to give them a proper, conversation about all the statistics that we've already talked about. But then before they could go, they had to move over into the area where they had to wash clothes by hand. And it was really kind of fun because people were shocked, like, you want me to do what? And we took those water jugs, we put them at the other side of the building. They had to go get water and think about what women have to do every day to go get water. We made it easy. They were indoors. They were the water was in jugs, easy to carry. And then we brought them back and told them to pour that into those wash bins, take the clothes and wash clothes. So they were on their hands and knees washing clothes, and we make them do it for 3 minutes. And then we say, think about that. That's like think about 3 hours of this and tell me how you feel right now. And they're talking about how their hands hurt and how their back hurts and their knees. Well, I have knee problems. I'm like, well, so do they, So, it was really a huge shocking thing for them to see. And then they got to see Vivia. So they got to see what the solution was as well. And that just, people started signing up for builds immediately, and it was, we didn't have enough machines to build at first because so many people wanted to build.
And how many machines have you made a commitment to build over the next 3 years?
Say in the region of about 4,000 machines in the next 3 years, in the next 5 years, about 10,000 machines. So,
and you're going to touch how many people and families with that? Because there's an exponential number. It's not just a one person, one machine. It's families, large families.
Yeah, it's 150,000 people we expect to touch in 5 years. So that's a lot of laundry and a lot of time saved.
A lot of time saved. I think it's important again to reiterate that up to 20 hours a week of time is saved for women and girls mostly.
Yeah, and we see this as the tip of the iceberg, right? So some of our distributions are showcasing that there's a gender role reversal where, men see this as a bit of a tech product, something new that they want to try and I engage with because they get to put on the legs of the machine and they're now washing clothes, which is, for us, is the tip of the iceberg.
I'm very curious of your point of view. What is the role of purpose, giving back, having these sort of social relationships and collaborations in an AI-driven world?
I just feel like AI has helped make things easier, the day-to-day things that we have to do. And I hope that AI will make it easier for us to follow all of our volunteers throughout, these journeys, and maybe make it easier to collect the metrics and easier to tell the stories even. And, purpose will always have a role in companies and in some companies anyway. And I look forward to it.
I always kind of go rogue a bit, which is, the people that we support are people that their lives are not going to be touched by AI for a long, long time to come. I think, you know, in an age where, you know, 1 billion people are going to go hungry today, and 5 billion people have to travel to the river or the stream or the lake and hand wash clothes, I think, you know, more people focusing on solutions that have positive impact on the world is the way forward. And if AI can help with that, then that would be great.
Super. I love that. So I always give the last word to my guests. Anything we've left out, anything you want to punctuate again?
Yeah, and I think, you know, I just want to say a massive thank you to you, Carol, for being on this journey, but also, you know, Mopal Foundation for trusting us and believing in us. And we want to do more. We collectively want to do more. We want, we all know purposeful and purpose-led partnerships, you know, that collaborate and collaborate and that complement each other, not compete each other. You know, there's so much space here and so much room to create impact together and come along this journey. I think there's so much that we could do together. Our website has a contact form, you know, with prospective partners that they can sign up and we can have a conversation, and we want to bring Whirlpool along the journey with us and complement you know, really accelerate the impact that they're creating for millions of lives around the world.
I say join us. I think Nav and I are saying the same thing. We need help. There's 60%. That's a giant, giant number of people who are still washing by hand. And, you know, they live in areas where we can't provide wash machines. They live in areas where there's unstable electricity and unstable water sources. So we need help. And we look at each other when we talk about the funding. We're funding the washing machine project right now, but we look at each other and say, we need more machines. We need more machines. So we invite other companies to come, please join us and see how you can help.
So I want to thank both of you. I would hope that if any of our corporations that are listening that truly want to learn how to do this really well, that you could contact any one of our guests.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
This podcast was brought to you by some amazing people, and I'd love to thank them. Anne Hundertmark and Kristen Kenny at Carol Cohn on Purpose, Pete Wright and Andy Nelson, our crack production team at True Story FM, and you, our listener. Please rate and rank us, because we really want to be as high as possible as one of the top business podcasts available, so that we can continue exploring together the importance and the activation of authentic purpose. Thanks so much for listening.